Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 39 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Cody Robinson.
We want what's best for us as teachers, but we also want what's best for the students.
Some Rowan County teachers are preparing for another rally at the state capitol.
The Kentucky Senate has released their new draft of Senate Bill 1.
Rowan County's Board of Education will discuss plans for hiring a new superintendent during a special meeting on Thursday.
The vote on Mason County's nickel tax is taking place today.
Residents in the floodplain in Greenup should watch their mailboxes for important paperwork.
In sports, Louisville hosts Mississippi tonight in NIT action.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Light rain mixing with snow overnight. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
At least five Eastern Kentucky school districts will close tomorrow as their teachers rally in Frankfort against proposed pension cuts that have sparked outrage among public employees across the state. Rowan County schools will be in session as normal, but some teachers are planning to make the trip to Frankfort anyway. Rowan Middle School teacher James Hood says it's important for Kentucky Education Association members to continue to make their wishes known.
We're not giving up. And I think we have to keep our motivation, our movement going strong, you know, and I think some people think that just because that went back to committee, we don't need to worry. I can assure you that this isn't the end.
The county school districts in Pike, Lawrence, Martin, and Carter will be closed on Wednesday, along with the Ashland Independent School District in Boyd County.
Kentucky lawmakers have given final approval to a bill to regulate online renewals of prescriptions for contact lenses and glasses. The Kentucky House sent the measure to Governor Matt Bevin on an 80-0 vote Monday. Before voting for final passes, the House accepted changes made to the bill by senators. The original bill required real-time interaction between an eye doctor and a patient seeking a prescription. The Senate voted to strike that requirement, and the House accepted it. The measure comes as more companies offer eye exams through a smartphone app, marketing it as a way to save a trip and some money on something as simple as a prescription renewal. The bill would regulate the industry for the first time in Kentucky.
The Kentucky Senate wants to put more police officers in public schools by making it less expensive to hire them. The Legislative Committee approved a two-year state spending plan today. It would let local law enforcement agencies rehire retired police as school resource officers without having to pay for their retirement and health insurance. It would also let state troopers take second jobs as school resource officers. The proposal comes on the same day that a school resource officer in Maryland fired at a shooter in a local high school. The shooter later died, but authorities said it is unclear if the shooter was killed by the officer. Also in that proposal, judges and circuit court clerks could get their first raises in more than a decade, but only if lawmakers pass an overhaul to the pension system that has prompted fierce opposition from public workers.
A House bill aimed at reforming Kentucky's foster care system is getting unanimous support from the Senate. Haley Hansen with the Kentucky News Network reports.
House Bill 1 would reduce the amount of time kids spend in the foster care system, eliminates delays in adoptions, and gives foster parents more rights. Representative David Mead is a co-sponsor and says,
"This bill is simply a start. And of course, the issue that we are facing of the number of children coming into foster care is alarming. And these children are our future, and we want to do what we can."
The bill passed unanimously through the Senate Health and Welfare Committee and now heads to the full Senate for consideration. I'm Haley Hansen.
With spouses of fallen officers in the gallery, the Kentucky House unanimously passed a bill that would increase benefits for families of those killed in the line of duty. If passed by the full legislature, the House Bill 185 would increase line of duty benefits for surviving spouses from 25% to 75% of the deceased monthly average pay rate, with dependent children also receiving a share. It would also allow surviving spouses to continue receiving a portion of the death benefit when he or she remarries at a reduced rate of up to 25% of the former spouse's pay. Republican Representative John Blanton says spouses of fallen officers deserve the change.
They must relive this torture every single day. And this is the least that we can do for these courageous surviving spouses.
The bill passed unanimously through the House and now heads to the Senate. We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Fiscal Court, offering a payroll and occupational tax amnesty program through March 31st. A 5% penalty and interest will be waived if delinquent taxes are paid before March 31st. Taxes not paid by the deadline may result in further penalties or legal action. More information on the Rowan County Tax Amnesty Program is available by calling the Rowan County Finance Director at 784-8505.
The Rowan County School Board will hold a special meeting Thursday night to continue talks about the search for a new superintendent for the district. Board Chairman Rick Wayland says since the topic will be a personal matter, the gathering will be closed to the general public. Wayland says the group plans to review the 16 applicants for the post.
We've gotten a better response than some of the other recent searches that have gone on throughout the state. The quality that we have, I feel, is outstanding. I've spent a lot of time the last 2 weeks combing through these resumes and going back and looking at them again and again and again. So I feel like we got a good selection, and I feel out of this group that we've got, we've definitely got some qualified candidates we'll have to choose from.
Wayland says they'll be deciding who to call and interview on the phone, with in-person interviews to be scheduled later. He adds the plan remains to have a replacement for retiring Superintendent Marvin Moore hired by May 1st.
Moorhead's fire chief says the department's new ladder truck will be a game changer for its ability to protect and serve the community. The MFD will take delivery of the $1.1 million vehicle from an Ohio company in August. According to Jeff Anderson, the new ladder truck will provide local firefighters with options they currently don't have with their current truck.
I haven't been able to use it like it was manufactured for 35 years ago. And the new pump, the new truck will be able to go to any type of fire in the city. Even as an engine, it will be able to, you know, if one of our engines is out of town or doing some maintenance on it, we can run that ladder truck and do everything we need to do.
Anderson says the Moorhead Fire Department earlier tried out a demo model of the ladder truck that it's buying and found it is capable of serving any part of the city or Rowan County.
Those living in a floodplain in Greenup County who made insurance claims due to flood damage should check their mailboxes for paperwork, WMKY's Jacob Lindberg reports.
According to the Ashland Daily Independent, a letter from the county floodplains inspector warns of a possible violation of the flood damage prevention ordinance. But receiving the letter doesn't necessarily mean a violation has occurred. Greenup Judge Executive Bobby Carpenter says the county is required to send the notices to make sure all residents filing insurance claims are following proper procedures. Some low-lying areas in Greenup County were damaged by Ohio River flooding last month. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
Members of Maysville's Human Rights Commission continue to plug away on designing the city's new fairness ordinance. At the urging of Kentucky Fairness Campaign, the group has been working for a few months to draw up a comprehensive statute that would prohibit discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity. The Human Rights Commissioner has been studying the fairness ordinances in place in 8 other Kentucky cities to determine what would be best for Maysville. Mayor David Cartmell says that effort remains a work in progress.
And the city council supports it. And we've got a really diverse group of people on the board. And we have had, speakers from Lexington and Covington come down, both attorneys and activists, so we know what we're dealing with. So, I think it's going to be a positive experience.
Cartmell says officials are still tweaking the potential Maysville Fairness Ordinance. He believes it will be finalized in the next 2 months.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet is spending $378,000 to paint a pair of bridges in Greenup and Boyd counties. According to Cabinet spokesman Alan Blair, work will begin Friday on Kentucky 2 at the Jeremy Gullett Memorial Bridge, where it crosses the Little Sandy River. It will then continue in mid-April on Kentucky 966, also known as South Big Run Road, at the Williams Creek Bridge at mile marker 5, just off U.S. 60 at Colton.
We'll use temporary traffic signals at the bridges that are undergoing the painting. So people just need to watch for that and just know that there's going to be a little bit of delay there at those bridges when they're traveling.
Crews will not only be painting the bridge's steel support beams, but will also be doing some cleaning and conducting any needed repairs. Motorists going through the areas of the work should expect traffic delays.
The vote on the Mason County School nickel tax is taking place today. According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, voters may go to their regular precincts to cast their ballot until 6 o'clock this evening. The special election will cost the Mason County School District $25,000, but Superintendent Rick Ross says the cost would be worth ensuring the district can renovate its buildings. The nickel tax would equal 5.6 cents per $100 of assessed property value. Ross says the money from that nickel tax would only be used for roof and floor repairs, new lighting, and safety upgrades.
The most hazardous items around the house tend to include drugs and medications. That's according to the Kentucky Poison Control Center. The center reports accidental medicine poisoning sends a child to an emergency room every 9 minutes in the United States. Morag McKay is the director of research for Safe Kids Worldwide. She says medications should always be out of sight and out of reach.
Parents are often a little confused about what child-resistant packaging means. We found about half of them think that child-resistant means child-proof, and in fact, that is not the case. Child-resistant packaging is designed to make it harder for the child to get into the medicine, but it's not completely impossible.
March is Poison Prevention Month, and this week through Saturday is National Poison Prevention Week. You can call a toll-free Poison Help hotline at 800-222-1222.
Kentucky has fallen 8 spots since 2016 in the 2018 Health of Women and Children report. The report comes from America's Health Rankings. Dr. Julie Daftary is the chief medical officer for United Healthcare in Kentucky. She says some of the significant areas for improvement are related to self-care.
We see that behaviors still drive a large portion of all outcomes. In all women ages 18 to 44, there's a high rate of tobacco use, obesity, diabetes, and we've also seen a high level of drug death.
The report does note some strengths for the state. They include affordable child care, a low prevalence of substance dependence or abuse among kids, and a high incidence of children and women getting their regular checkups from their doctors.
Taking a look at this week's weather forecast, tonight it's an 80% chance of rain with some possible snow later and a low of 33 degrees. Tomorrow morning, some more snow and a mix of rain and snow later that evening, a high of 39. Tomorrow night, it'll be cloudy with some late cloud clearings and a low of 25 degrees. Thursday morning, it'll be mainly sunny and a 10% chance of rain and a high near 47. Thursday night, it'll be pretty clear that night with a low of 28 degrees. Friday morning, it'll be mostly sunny skies with highs near 50. Current temperatures in the listening area are 35 degrees in Flemingsburg, 36 degrees in Lexington, 40 degrees in Ashland, 35 degrees in Winchester, 48 degrees in Inez, and 39 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, the Rowan County clerk who was jailed for refusing to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples has written a book about the experience. WMKY's Arlo Barnett has more.
Kim Davis became a national talking point after the U.S. Supreme Court legalized same-sex marriage in 2015. She then defied a federal court order instructing her to honor the ruling, citing a conflict with her apostolic Christian beliefs. People from across the country protested against and in support of her, but Davis says the story has been pretty one-sided so far.
I think, the media didn't always tell the whole story and left a lot of people wondering, why would somebody like me do something like what I did? And I wanted to be an encouragement to other, not just Christians, but just to other individuals to know that, if you believe in something and it's in your heart and in your soul that you can stand and you can, make a difference.
And that's what Davis wants to do with her new book. It's called Under God's Authority, The Kim Davis Story. It features a foreword by former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee and a behind-the-scenes look at the events leading to Davis's brief incarceration that she hopes will act as encouragement for people who face the same kind of situation.
You don't have to, take off that cap of belief, you know, and leave it in your vehicle when you go to your job. You know, where if you're a Christian, a believer, then, you know, that's something that's entrenched and ingrained in you, and you can't be separated from that so easily.
Davis says the book relates the importance of her religious convictions at a time they were tested to the extreme.
That God can and will take someone with a very unlikely past and use it as a testimony to bring glory to Him. You know, the book is a story of redemption and transformation and just obedience to God.
This obedience is paramount to Davis in her interpretation of Scripture that precludes gay marriage. She now issues licenses in accordance with the 2015 ruling, but with her name excluded from the certificate. That's thanks to executive action from Governor Matt Bevin during his first year in office. Davis says the entire experience has been surreal. She never expected her fight to go this far.
Well, for me, it is surreal because I still don't really fully understand. But, you know, in order to love God and live for God, I don't have to understand. I just have to listen. And I have to do, you know, what He leads me to do and through the Scriptures and through my own wisdom that I have, which isn't a whole lot. But, you know, God gives us a measure of faith and, you know, we're to use that. And I want to be found faithful to Him.
Under God's Authority, The Kim Davis Story is hitting shelves now, as published by Liberty Counsel, the Florida-based law firm that represents Davis. I'm Arlo Barnett, WMKY News.
It's 4:47 and 38 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Cody Robinson, and we're so glad you've joined us on this Tuesday afternoon. Braxton Howard has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main, next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Morehead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream, and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday. Catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
Local shoots for the Big Apple. Good afternoon for WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. A step away from a trip to the NIT's Final Four in New York's Madison Square Garden, the Louisville basketball team hosts Mississippi State as part of the tournament's quarterfinal round tonight. The game tips off at the KFC Yum Center at 9:05. After setting aside the initial disappointment of not making the NCAA's big dance, sophomore guard Ryan McMahon says the Cardinals are having fun.
Yeah, I mean, we feel like we have nothing to lose. So go out there and just play hard. And it's another chance that we have to, you know, a couple more weeks that we have to play with our brothers and finish out the season strong. So who doesn't like more basketball?
Louisville's 22-13 this season. The Cardinals haven't played Mississippi State since 1987. The Bulldogs have a 24-11 record and ranked 10th in the nation in shots blocked. The Kentucky basketball team is getting set for action in the NCAA Tournament Sweet 16. The Wildcats face Kansas State at 9:37 on Thursday in Atlanta. After watching his team hit 7 of 15 threes in Saturday's win over Buffalo, just a game after it went without a triple against Davidson, Coach John Calipari warns the Big Blue can't allow itself to fall in love with its long-range shooting.
Against Davidson, we only took 6. And I'm still trying to figure out, how did we only take 6? Was it their defense? Was it what we did? Was it that we were trying to be aggressive? I don't know. But we want to take between 15 and 18 threes. We're not taking 30. Anytime in the history of my career, my team takes 30 shots from the three, we lose.
UK is 9-0 lifetime against Kansas State, who the Cats last beat in 2014 to start their run at the national championship game. Also from college basketball, Ole Miss officially introduced Kermit Davis as its new head basketball coach today. Rhode Island head coach Dan Hurley is considered to be the top target for both UConn and Pittsburgh for their head coaching jobs. ESPN reports Hurley plans to meet with Rhode Island's athletic director before hopefully making a decision on which job, if either, he will accept by the end of the week. Elsewhere, Oklahoma star freshman Trae Young announced today he will enter the NBA draft. And according to 24/7 Sports, Texas freshman big man Mo Bamba will enter this summer's draft as well. The Morehead State baseball team is about to start a five-game spring break road trip. The Eagles play at Alabama State this evening at 5 and tomorrow before starting an OVC set with Eastern Kentucky on Friday. With the team getting several timely hits in this weekend sweep of Belmont, Coach Mike McGuire believes MSU's hitters may finally be getting on track.
And I thought our bats all weekend were, you know, got better and better and better as the weekend went, and I thought that was a key. And then we got the free bases, took advantage of some of them, finally got a big hit.
The baseball Eagles start things at Alabama State with an 11-9 overall record. Amir Garrett hopes he's done enough this spring to convince the Cincinnati Reds to give him a spot in their starting pitching rotation when they break camp next week. The 25-year-old lefty is 2-0 in exhibition action with a 1.38 ERA. He also had 15 strikeouts in 13 innings while allowing just 6 hits. Garrett says what happens next is up to the Reds.
I'm just going to keep continuing to pitch no matter where it's at. Just going to keep it going. I'm just a baller, man. You know, I'll do whatever to help the team win. You know, it's really no difference. You know, they allow me to get some time to warm up, but I feel that I can get up and get going whenever they need me. But, you know, it's up to them. Wherever they need me, in the bullpen, starting, you know, I'm here to do whatever. You know, I feel I can help the team in multiple ways. And
as a rookie in 2017, Garrett posted a 3-8 record with an ERA well over 7 in 16 games, including 14 starts for Cincinnati. Morehead State football coach Rob Tenier has hired another new assistant coach. Omar Cook will coach the MSU's cornerbacks. Cook spent the last 2 seasons at St. Bernardino Valley College in California coaching that school's corners. He joins fellow newcomers Killian Markworth, Adam Moeller, and Andrew Strobel on Tenier's staff.
Pretty excited about it. Really excited about the people that we got to join our family and some really good football coaches, great teachers, outstanding character type people.
Markworth will coach the Eagles' tight ends, Moeller the defensive line, and Strobel mentoring the team's defensive linemen. The Louisville football team has kicked off its spring practices. For Coach Bobby Petrino, that rates as one of his favorite times of the year.
I always enjoy spring ball. I think you see a lot of teaching going on, so one of the biggest parts of it is to teach the offense, teach the techniques, teach the defense, teach the techniques, and then see how they take them over from like an individual drill to a group drill to a team drill. And be able to utilize those techniques as you move into faster and more competition.
The big story for the U of L this spring is at quarterback, where sophomore Jawan Pass is replacing former Heisman Trophy winning quarterback Lamar Jackson, who's moving on to the NFL. The Cards will play their red-white scrimmage game on April the 14th. The Kentucky football team got back on the practice field today after taking last week off for spring break. The quarterback battle is the big story for Kentucky this spring as well, as they look to replace starter Steven Johnson. Ohio State transfer Danny Clark and former Oregon commit and junior college transfer Terry Wilson are battling for that starting job. Wilson says he and offensive coordinator Eddie Grant are focusing on limiting turnovers this spring.
Ball security is huge, you know, for the program. You know, the ball is the program. It's what we call it here. And, you know, we work ball security every day right before practice. You know, for quarterbacks, it's, you know, the number one priority to take care of the football. So, yes, Coach Grant, he does emphasize ball security a lot. And, you know, we take pride in that.
Kentucky will have its first live inter-squad scrimmage on Saturday. Finally, in sports in the NFL, another league to challenge the NFL is on the way. While Vince McMahon announced earlier this year he was revamping the XFL in 2020, director Charlie Ebersole announced he's creating the Alliance of American Football League, and it will debut in February of 2019, the week after Super Bowl 53. Former NFL general manager Bill Polian is involved in the league, along with former NFL players Troy Polamalu, Hans Ward, Jared Allen, and Justin Tucker. The league's games will air on CBS Sports Network, with the championship game airing on CBS. Elsewhere, the Jacksonville Jaguars released wide receiver Allen Hurns and tight end Mercedes Lewis on Tuesday, creating more than $10 million in cap space. And the Pittsburgh Steelers have signed former Packers safety Morgan Burnett to a 3-year contract. At sports for WMKY, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Softball begins OVC action this weekend against Austin Peay and Murray State, with games at noon and 2 p.m. both Saturday and Sunday. Tickets and information from the MSU Ticket Eagle office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks climbed as the Federal Reserve started a two-day monetary policy meeting, with most market participants expecting a rate hike. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 116.36 at 24,727.27. The S&P 500 was up 4.02 at 2716.94, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 20.06 at 7364.3. Market expectations for a March rate hike from the Fed are just under 95% as of this afternoon, while most market participants expect the Fed to raise rates by a quarter of a percent. They will also look for clues about whether the central bank will stay on track to hike rates three times this year, or if it expects to further tighten policy. Treasury bond yields rose ahead of the Fed announcement. The benchmark 10-year note yield traded at 2.88.5%, while the short-term 2-year yield rose to 2.34%. Stocks rose, or I should say tech stocks were up today, and of course yesterday tech suffered because of the weakness in Facebook. Facebook itself had its worst day yesterday since March 2014 after reports said political analytics firm Cambridge Analytica was able to collect data on 50 million people without their consent. Today, Facebook was down 2.5% but traded well off of its lows. And as mentioned, you had a general recovery in most tech stocks today. Amazon was up over 2.5% while Netflix was up 1.25%. In corporate news, shares of Roku rose as much as 5% after analysts at Oppenheimer upgraded them to market market perform from underperform, citing catalysts like accelerated cord cutting trends. And after the close, Federal Express reported higher than expected earnings, with the stock reacting very strongly in the after hours session. Currently, FedEx shares are up over $7 a share in the after hours session. In the commodities markets, oil was up 2.16% at $63.42. Gold was down 0.6% at $1,310 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were strong as the Stock 600 index was up 0.5%. In Asia, stocks were mixed with the Nikkei down 0.5%, while the Shanghai Composite was up 0.3%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Boeing and Nike, while the worst performers were GE and Verizon. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Dover and NVIDIA, while the worst performers were Oracle and Cardinal Health. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 93 cents at 71.86, CSX up 28 cents at 56.97, AEP down a penny at 67.44, Marathon Petroleum up $2.26 at 71.47, AK Steel was down 13 cents at 4.82, and Anthem was up $1.94. at $229.93. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the City of Moorhead, announcing that the Round County Community Fund is now accepting proposals for projects that contribute to the improvement of Moorhead in the Round County community. To be eligible, applicants must be 501c3 tax-exempt charitable organizations, local governments, school districts, or programs sponsored by one of these organizations. Applications must be received by April 13th. More information at 859-225-3343.
Taking another quick look at your region's weather forecast, an 80% chance of rain is possible tonight, with turning into snow with lows around 33 degrees. Morning snow with a mix of rain and snow later in the day with highs of 39 tomorrow. Cloudy skies late tomorrow night with the lows around 25. Mainly sunny on Thursday, a 10% chance of rain and a high near 47 degrees. It's currently 39 degrees here on the campus of Moorhead State University. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Chaz Jenkins, Jacob Lindberg, and Braxton Howard, KNN's Haley Hansen, and Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke. Our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Arlo Barnett. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BHI Nez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Cody Robinson and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.